forgetful is what I'm trying not to be at the beginning of the new year. And so I have the lapel, my lapel that I wear with a clip on it. It's on my side. It's at home, and so I got the secondary one with no clip, but that's okay. We have plenty of pockets to put it in. But anyway, how's everybody been doing this week? Been doing good? Good, good. Big happy birthday to Brother Jeff, and his birthday today. And how many is that, brother? 74. Just a kid. Wow. 74. Well, you don't look it, brother. Look good. And it's, I told Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon, I guess I just kind of blurted it out. Really feels like we haven't been here in a while through Christmas break and then, of course, New Year's break. And so we had a good break here. I know it sounds strange to say had a good break here at the church, but sometimes you just got to spend some good family, good quality family time with the Lord with you and then come back and fire back up for the new year. So we're excited about the new year, and I hope you are too. While it's on my mind, has anybody seen any sports news lately, past couple of days, about the football player? I would be remiss if I didn't mention him. And I believe it was a cardiac arrest. For some reason, I'm forgetting his name. Brother David, you know his name? Damar Hamlin? Damar Hamlin. Hey, memory's coming back. Damar Hamlin. And I saw a highlight of when it happened, like minutes after. And my goodness, cardiac arrest. I guess his heart stopped and just fell flat backwards on the field. They said it's never happened in the NFL. It's happened in sports before. And so I guess he's in ICU, the last I heard, with a feeding tube up in Cincinnati. And the problem is trying to wing him off of the ventilator so he can breathe on his own. And I forgot how many minutes his heart was actually stopped. I want to say it was like, that's what I thought. 9 minutes he lay on that field dead, basically. That, they did. That, okay. I tell you, it really got me thinking about here. It really got me thinking about here. I don't, we have one?
Yes, sir.
All right. I either forgot we had one or I knew we needed one. So, God forbid if anything ever happens in a church service or anytime anybody's here and their heart stops. I don't know how far an ambulance has to travel to get here. I don't know the closest, what, metro, maybe, right down the road. But from that, from the phone call to them and from them to here, that could be the matter of life and death. Realistically, it could. And so they're just, they've been talking about hoping and praying that, you know, there was no damage to the brain, no damage to any organs for the heart to be stopped that long. And my, you just never know. Our hearts could stop immediately. And goodbye world, hello Lord. Wow, didn't know that, yeah. That's been on the forefront of my mind this week. Let's join in with, as they've been saying on the sports channel, as humans, as people living in the U.S. of A, and we'll pray for him as well tonight. I want to jump right into some requests. We have quite a few. Brother David Barker, I put out a post earlier on Facebook that Brother David actually yesterday evening, I believe it was, went to Kenistone by way of ambulance. And I don't know how many are aware of that or read that post, but he's doing better. Come to find out, he has pneumonia. Yet last night, at least, he was not only did he have pneumonia, but he was dehydrated last night. And he mentioned about having a blood clot. So they started treating him for pneumonia, giving him fluids, and, of course, blood thinners. And so hopefully, prayerfully, he'll be coming home in the morning. But as of tonight, he said, sent a message, and said he is off pretty much everything there. So IVs, everything he was on last night, he's off now. So praise the Lord for that. There's been two or three that's had the stomach virus. Miss Claudia is one. Mentioned Sunday, Jackson Martin actually had a stomach virus on Sunday, and so he's all better. So that's going around. So be careful with that. Carter had oral surgery on Monday, and he did well. Miss Amanda and Brother CJ have a couple of videos on their cell phones of when he was under anesthesia. And kind of sad, but kind of comical. As you can imagine, a child being under anesthesia, but he did well, and so we thank God for that. Miss Mary Ann spoke with her. She's doing well. She, I believe, said that by the end of the week, this week, she'd be at therapy 3 times, close to that, and praise the Lord for that she's doing good. She said when she gets this one healed up a little bit, she's ready for the next one. So, pretty good doctor, Miss BJ, from what I hear, and staff over there. But let's remember her. Our children's home, they're doing much better, but to stay in the clear, they stayed home tonight, and just to be on the safe side. And so let's continue to remember them as well. Do we have any others? Did I miss anything? I'm sure I did. Brother David. Sorry to hear that. Absolutely. Sure. When did she pass, that really? Thank you for that update.
Justin, remember Krista?
Okay. Is she? All right. We'll jot that surgery date down. Their 1-year anniversary up at their church and where they're living at. 16th? Okay. Anyone else? I heard collectively that everybody is getting better. I've noticed Brother Allen putting a couple posts out there, kind of being humorous. That's a good indication. But I think they're all doing better. They just want to be on the safe side, and I'll just stay home tonight, stay over at the campus tonight. So so glad to hear that. I've heard of a few just very bad cases of COVID, very bad cases this go around. And so anyone else? Was that the flu he had or cold? Yeah. Okay. We'll definitely continue to remember him, and we'll remember him in his recovery. Anyone else? All right, let me just throw out a couple of announcements. Can anybody guess what our next major event is here at the church? Jubilee. Sunday, March 5th through Thursday, March 9th. And everything is planned. This year we have a couple new singing groups coming. One of them is a quartet called One by Faith Quartet. And the lead singer was actually my banker for a long time. And I first heard of them when we started at Zion View at our first church. Just a great, godly gospel group. They just love the Lord, and they have a lot of old songs. They got some newer ones. But they'll be with us on Jubilee kickoff morning and night. Brother Snyder will be preaching, that morning. Brother Sammy Burgess, I've asked him to come back that night. And then, of course, traditionally and historically, we like to have Floyd Road on Monday night. And so we're going from a singing group to a choir on Monday night. I've asked Brother Michael Soup to come back. And so Michael Soup will be preaching on that Monday. And then Tuesday, of course, David Smith. But then I have Welcome Hill Choir coming, Welcome Hill Baptist Church Choir, coming on Tuesday night. All of our young people went to Camp Ivy this past summer, so I think it was just a good thing to happen. Invite them over to sing, and of course, most of our kids have already met Curtis Montgomery, which is the choir director. So this is a great lineup for Tuesday, Wednesday. I actually asked a pastor by the name of Josh Agin. Anybody know Josh Agin? My wife's cousin is married to him. He pastors Gateway Baptist. I believe it's in Winston, Georgia. And younger man. And so we asked him to preach on that Wednesday. Of course, we'll use our Calvary talent for Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I have Craig Edwards coming, and then we got a Southern Gospel Bluegrass group coming called The Servers, and it's about five or six men, actually. They all got guitars and fiddles and everything else, and they are just a great, great group, highly recommended from Pastor Nathan and Brother Johnny Ivey when he was living. And so they'll be here on that Thursday. So we've got a group to start us, a group to finish, a couple choirs in the middle, and our talent here at Calvary as well. Remember that. Also got a couple baptisms coming up soon. We're going to plan that here at the beginning of the year, January, February. Michael, that's been visiting, got saved a while back, not too long ago. Not Michael Bendy. Michael Bendy's already saved. But the younger man that used to come with Amani. Yeah. I got report that he got saved. I guess it was on a Wednesday night with the youth outing they had. And I still need to talk to him about that. And then Miss Shauna wants to get baptized again. And a lot of people have different opinions on that, but this is how I settle this, where someone gets saved and then they publicly profess. Well, sometimes down the road, they learn some things, they get closer to the Lord, and they really want to do this as a almost like a rededication. But I'm all for anything that will enhance someone's walk with the Lord. So we're going to schedule a service for them soon. Youth Sunday this month, CLU this month, I believe. Back on track with that. I guess that's about it. Last but not least, will be on January 29th, will be Christy and I, our 18th wedding anniversary. And so that means a lot to me, I'm telling you. It means a lot to her, too. But I look back, and I remember the day we got married. I remember the ice storm, the snowstorm. I remember her former pastor slipping and hitting his head on the concrete, covered in snow and ice. And I remember being drove off, me and her, in a, I believe it was a 57 Chevrolet Bel Air. Is that the right year? spent the night at Marietta Conference Center. Had plans to be in Pigeon Forge the very next day. Family was like, just cancel, reschedule. I said, no. I'm married. We just got married. We got to be in Pigeon Forge. And just to see the path that God has taken us down so far. I loved her then, but I have to say, the love we have for one another now is so much more genuine. It was real then. Y'all know what I'm, those that are married know what I'm saying. When you go through a few things, your spouse is there for you. They think about you. They do things for you. They're there. I want to say this, I'm going to quit rambling. I like what Craig Edwards said, that his wife said to him. She said, "Craig, I'll follow you to the end of the earth, and then I'll fall off with you." Wow, how about that? So this will be 18 years for us, and we're excited about it. Okay, anything before we pray? It looks like I'm talking your heads off. I'm going to try not to put you to sleep. All right. Well, let's pray tonight. And I believe Brother Jeff has a song for us. And then we got a couple things to mention tonight. Bring a lesson, and then we'll go from there. All right. Turn, if you would, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 6 tonight, please. John chapter number 6. Tonight I want to read 4 verses. That is John chapter 6, verse 66. That's the verse that I quote sometimes in preaching, John 6:66. And there's a reason for that, I believe. Excuse me. And we're going to see that tonight. And then I want to read verse 67, 68, and verse 69. And so let's read, if we could, or just follow along with me. John chapter number 6, verse 66, as I read. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to stop there, verse 69. And I know that's not finishing the chapter, but for the message, the lesson's sake, and for context's sake, we're going to stay within verse number 66 through 69. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 68, the Bible says, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now, the word whom here, it means who, it means what, and it also can mean where. Who, what, and where. And we know that there were many, many in verse 66, and we'll get into that in a minute, that walked or that went back and walked with him no more. And then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, where shall we go? Lord, what shall we do if we don't go to you? Tonight, I want to take that thought, and if I could, just for a few moments, I want to speak on this subject. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go. And let me just say this. I don't say that on the negative. Like, well, there's nothing else to do. There's nowhere else to go, so let's go to Jesus. Because when Simon Peter says this, he is expressing a lot of faith here. Many walk back, and yet Simon Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the one who has words of eternal life. He expressed strong faith and dedication. Of course, we know that Simon Peter, he was also one that would speak out and would be boisterous upon occasion. The old fisherman. But tonight I want to kind of stay within that realm. There's nowhere else to go. And of course, I'm talking about, this message is for us, those that believe, those that are Christians. But underneath that umbrella, that title, there's nowhere else to go, I just want to look at two things tonight, wrapped up in the context of this chapter. Number one, I want to look at, in verse 66, those who left. And then in verse number 67 down through verse 69, those who stayed. That's the two points tonight, those who left and those who stayed. My intention with the lesson tonight is to find out why so many of them left and walked away from the Lord, but also find out why only the 12 followed or stayed. So there's nowhere else to go. Like the old song says, where could I go but to the Lord? Seeking a refuge for my soul. There's literally tonight, for those of us that are Christians, been born again, there is nowhere else we could go. We can't just walk away like these did. So let's dive right into it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 66, let's look at those who left. Let's try to find out why so many left following the Lord. It all goes back to the miracle of the two fish and the five loaves. If you go back, turn, if you would, back to chapter number 6, the fish and the loaves. Verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And here it is. And a great multitude followed him. Listen to this. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And so we see that there's this great multitude following the Lord here. And they're following him because of the last miracles that were performed. And we know, we won't go through all of this, but we know that the little lad had a lunch that was available, two fish and five loaves, heard it your whole life. And there was a transfer and a transform that took place there. I have a message I preached on that, where the little lad, he transferred what he had, and God transformed it. You know that, the principles in God's word of giving God what we have and watching him do amazing things with it. We know that everybody was fed. We believe that it was just the men that were counted, 5,000. I'm sure there were women. I'm sure there were kids. 5,000 plus were fed. And then, verse 12 says this. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I like that verse because it lets us know that God is in the big things, but God is also in the little things. He's a detailed-oriented God. Now, those disciples, and I don't want to get off too far in this particular area right here, this verse, verse 12, but those disciples may have wondered, why? Why do you want us to pick up the crumbs? Why do you want us to... Well, later on, they would be in a storm, and they would have those baskets in the boat with them, and yet they were still in fear because of the storm. They consider not the miracle of the loaves. So God is working in everything. He is feeding the multitudes here, but he's also putting out a command to pick up the crumbs. And just a little time out here, sometimes I think, well, Lord, what are you doing with this? Why is this happening? Or, Lord, I enjoyed that. How's that going to, will I ever be able to do that again? And somehow, some way, in his providence and his control and his omniscience, his knowledge, God uses all these little things for the bigger picture. That's amazing tonight. All right, and so now, notice if you would, over in verse number, let's see. Well, let me just say this. After the fragments were gathered, the storm, they experienced a storm. They were fearful. Jesus appeared to them in verse number 20. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And then in verse number 22, the Bible says, the day following. So after the miracle, after the storm, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw, that word saw again, has to do with the eyes, of course, saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. Verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Notice what he says in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Stop there for just a moment. And so Jesus is, he performed that miracle for really one primary reason, to just testify that he is the bread of life. He filled them with physical bread to point them to the spiritual bread, but they didn't get it. They were too concerned and too interested in filling their stomachs. He says in verse 26 that you don't seek me because you saw the miracles. In other words, the miracles that Jesus performed was a sign of who he is and who sent him. And so they weren't interested in that per se. They were interested not in the spiritual, but they were interested in the physical. You keep on reading through chapter number 6. You'll find out that Jesus changes his language. The miracle of the loaves is now a distant memory. And in verse 35, Jesus says, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so Jesus is saying, You're coming to me with hunger pains, but I did that. I solved your hunger pain, but it was to point to a spiritual problem, and that is that you need the spiritual bread, not just the physical bread. Now, let's jump ahead here. Jesus continues talking about, I am the bread of life. He gets into talking about the manna, verse 49, that their fathers ate in the wilderness. Look at verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. They didn't like that. What do you mean, your flesh? You keep on reading, and we know we have the Pharisees and all the rest of them, the scribes, and you get down to verse number 60. Let's see, verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples here just means learner, observer. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Let's stop there. And so they're angry. They didn't want anything to do with the spiritual application or implication. In fact, they wanted, because of the miracle that was performed, they wanted to take Jesus in to be king now and to rule and to reign. If you you got to go back and read. There's so many different places in here, but Jesus basically skipped town. He left, went into hiding mode just because his kingdom wasn't of the world, but it was the one hereafter. And so they were angry. Trying to find my verse there I marked earlier. I have basically all the colors of the rainbow highlighted in my Bible. But they were angry. They were angry. And then we get to verse number 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And then verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So who were those who left? There were those who were not connected to him. There were those who had no part in him. Those that were following him, followed him for what it profited their belly and their flesh, is what the scripture implies. I see here. And so when that need wasn't met, there wasn't a second miracle for them. And Jesus starts to say, I'm the bread of life. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who's going to give his life. You got to eat this bread so that you might have eternal life. They got angry and they walked away. And so these that walked away from the Lord, they were those who were learners. They were those who were observers. They were in it for, I could just, let's say it this way, they were in it for the miracle and what it profited them, but when it got to the message, they weren't interested. We're living in a world today, you know it as well as I do, they want the miracles of God to rain down on them. They want the miracles of God to shower down on them. And oh, and listen, I'm not trying to be harsh because I know times are hard, but the world we're living in, a lost and dying world, they want the miracles of God to rain down. They want their bellies filled. But when it comes to church and preaching, and when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to eternal life, they have no part in it. They care not. They just don't. They're so, as Jude, I was reading in Jude this morning, and Jude talks about being natural brute beasts, clouds without water. They have a form of godliness. They're after the blessing of God, but they're not after the blesser, which is God. And so I said all that to say this, that those who left were those who were not connected to Christ. They did not accept who he was because of their fleshly needs. So that's who left. Now let's look at number two. We only have two tonight. So we looked at those who left. It was those who weren't connected to him, those that were after the blessing and not the blesser. They didn't possess salvation. They didn't get the spiritual implication. All right, those who left. Now what about those who stayed? Look at verse number 67. Then said Jesus, notice this, unto the 12, will ye also go away? Those who stayed were the 12. The 12 were chosen. The 12 were those that were casting them nets. And Jesus walked by and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they exhibited repentance. They exhibited faith in who he was because they turned their back on everything they knew. They left it all behind. You don't follow a person. You don't follow a trend. You don't follow anything unless you're convinced of it. They were convinced. They left everything behind. These were the 12 that responded. You know, the Bible says that many are called and few are chosen. Somebody asked me one time, what do you think that's saying? Well, many are called, few are chosen. The chosen are those who answer the call. That's the best way I could put it. The Lord is ringing the phone from heaven to earth through the gospel, and whoever picks it up are those who are chosen. Now, we're not going to get into anything any deeper than that tonight. I purposely stay away from Calvinism. It's not even part of my language because I know what it is. I don't think it's beneficial to talk about it unless you're in a group setting where everyone wants to talk about it. Look at verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus knows who's going to call on him for salvation. He knows who's not. Calvinism will say, well, since God knows who's going to call on him for salvation, and since God knows who's not, then we really don't have a job to do. I've heard some tell it that way. Because if God already knows who he's going to call, why should we even put forth an effort? A lot of Calvinists believe in that. And again, we're not getting any deeper than that. But I settle it at this. Many are called, few are chosen. Those who are chosen are the ones who answer the call. If I believed only a select few were chosen, and then there were some that God purposely destined for hell, why send missionaries on foreign fields? I mean, if God already knows who's going to call, who's not, what, tell the missionaries to come home. Tell Don and Carla to come home. I mean, shut the church down. Because if God knows it all, and he does know it all, why even stretch our arms to the community? Why even send out postcards? And why have church services if God already knows, and he does, and we don't have any part in it, why even go through this? We'll just, eat, laugh, be merry. And so the Calvinists have it totally wrong tonight. For God so loved the world, that's everybody. He didn't direct, he didn't call anybody to go to hell one day. He just knows who they are that won't call on his name. All right, that's why I don't like that subject. It's better to teach stuff like that in a more formal classroom style setting. But let me just say this before I move on from the Calvinism. I've had a few friends in the ministry totally turn their back on what they believe about all grace through faith, whosoever will. And it had a terrible impact on them and their family. And we're a whosoever gospel believing church. Whosoever, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Let me mention a couple more things. So those who stayed were the 12, he said in verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. They were chosen. They had a say-so in it. They left their nets and followed him. All right? So we see a connection. Jesus passed by. They responded. And so there's a connection. They belong to him. He belongs to them. And I want to tell you, you belong to your spouse. Your spouse belongs to you. You have a family. You can't just walk away from something you belong to. People do it in the day and times we live, but you can't just walk away when there's been relationship. You can't walk away when there was an initial meeting of the two. You can't walk away from that and just turn your back on someone when there's real, genuine love and acceptance. You see, these 12 were, and I already know about Judas and his betrayal. But let me say this, they willingly left their nets. They followed him, and And because of that, they became part of him, part of his ministry. You and I, through the new birth, we become part of him. We're his children through the new birth, not just a creation, but a child of God through the new birth. We belong to him. He's our shepherd. Praying early this morning, rocking on my porch swing on the back porch. Dark outside, storming. Boy, I love that. It was a moment I had that I loved. That breeze was blowing, and I was just rocking. It started praying for Christy to make it safe to work. Lily was getting up, and just out there just thinking, praying. Wouldn't say anything with my lips. I was just praying in my head. And I was just thinking about how that the Lord, he's our provider. But I was thinking about more specifically, he's our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He leads us where he wills. He guides us. We may get close to the edge and feel we're going to go over. And he rescues us. And thinking about all that, that's relationship. We're sheep of his pasture. And so I can see why it would be easy for those who had no connection with him to walk away, because they were just in it for the bread. But tonight, we're in it for the bread of life. Because at the new birth, we asked the Lord Jesus into our heart. He gave us the earnest of the Spirit. We belong to him. And so when Jesus asked, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, those that knew him, those that walked with him and talked with him, those whom he showed mercy to, he said, y'all going to go away? Will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter said in verse number 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Think about it. Peter, God changed his life, called him from a life of fishing and whatever else. He was convinced. He left his nets. Lord, where else can I go? I can't go to the Pharisees because they're all about the law. Can't go to the scribes. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And so, Lord, he says, there is no other place I can go but to you. And tonight, I want to say the very same thing. There's nowhere else to go. We can't just turn our back and walk away like we never met the Lord, like these did in verse 66. Now, the question is now, can you walk away from the Lord? And I thought about that on the way over here. I said, I know it's going to come up in my head. Can a Christian walk away from the Lord? And here's my answer. Yes. But hear me, hear the other side of it. You can walk away from the Lord, but the Lord will never walk away from you. You can try to escape his love. You can try to do your own thing. I can try to do my own thing. I can try to walk away from the Lord, but the Bible says that those that are his are in his hand, and no man, no thing, nothing shall pluck them out of his hand. Oh, we can try to walk away from the Lord, a believer can, but it's the most miserable life. Ask a prodigal tonight how they're doing. Ask someone who's away from the Lord how they're doing. And they may put on a mask and say they're doing well, but on the inside, if they have walked away from the one who died for them, who promised to be their shepherd and sustain them and lead them and guide them, how could we walk away? Come what may, no matter how hard the trial is, no matter how hard how deep the valley is, we've experienced some things in 2022 that are rolling over into 2023, but guess what? I'm not walking away from him. Brother David, he died for me. He has proven himself to me. Didn't have to, but he did. God's my provider. He's my sustainer. He's my shepherd. And whatever he wills that may happen in 2023, I'm far better by his side than away from his side. Someone said one time, believe it was Brother Berman. He said he used to get in trouble growing up sometimes, Brother Berman Cape, Berman Cape Jr. He said, my daddy would take my belt off, he would spank me. Brother Berman used to say, he said, nowadays it's go to your room and think about that for a while. He said, my day it was lay there and think about that for a while. And I'm sure it's a bit exaggerated, but he said, but this is one thing I learned about spankings. This is one thing I learned. The closer I am to his side, the harder it is for him to spank me with that belt. He said that he would do something, and he said he'd see his daddy reaching that belt off, and he'd go right up on side of him, just hang to him. I remember one time that, believe this or not, I was about 9 years old. Don't want to chase him any rabbits, so I have to. Eckerd's drugstore, I stole a He-Man action figure under my shirt. I walked out of the store like this. I could not believe I got away with it. My mom knew. We got home. She chased me through the house. I love my mother. God bless her. She's in the presence of the Lord tonight. I went to the bathroom. I locked myself in that bathroom door. I locked myself in the bathroom. She's banging on the door. Justin Hales, open this door right now, boy. You're about to get it. You are not going to be no thief. So I stayed. I probably told this before. And so I looked at the crack of the door. And finally, she got tired of beating and banging on the door, being angry with me. She lay down on the couch. And before I knew it, I heard snoring. You know what I did? I opened that door. And I was smaller than I am now. I was 8 or 9 years old. I got right up on her back. I was that light. I got right up on her back and against the couch and on her back, I snuggled in. And I just laid my head down and went to sleep. She woke up and I said, I love you, Mama. Now, do you think she whipped me? No, no. And that story, Brother Berman's story, if I stay far away, now there were some times he got some spankings, he said, and his dad had full length. The closer we stay to his side, the safer we are. Come what may. I'm asking and I'm praying God for a fabulous 2023. But if the bottom falls out, every time I've said this, God has challenged me. If the bottom falls out, I'm not going that way. I'm going where he is. I want to stay close to him by his loving side. So those who stayed were the 12 because they had a connection. They had a personal experience. Those who left were those who were just in it for the flesh and their bellies. So tonight, there's nowhere else to go but to him and his loving side. I think we'll just stay a while, wait it out with him. And when he gets ready, he can call us home, Brother Don. But the intention tonight of the lesson, and we're done, is to find out why so many walked away and why only 12 followed him. There's bukus of studies on top of this. I just scratched the surface tonight, I feel like. But that's what the Lord laid on my heart to share tonight. I hope it was a help. That is. And you know you can think about that statement at every little intersection of life. BJ, will you also go away? Don, will you also go away? I know you're having surgery. I know you got this crisis, but will you just stay with me? Abide in me? Thank you for that, Leo. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for our time of togetherness this first Wednesday night of the new year. Lord, let us build off this one, just a great atmosphere of worship, Bible study, liberty to discuss and talk. Lord, we just continue to pray for all these we mentioned earlier, from the football player all the way down, Lord, to each and every person we mentioned, those in our prayer list, those that we failed to mention. You know who needs what. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways and bring us back safely on Sunday. And, Lord, we ask that you do a great and mighty work this coming up Sunday morning and Sunday night and during the week. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody got anything else?